as you're getting your seats and so forth, it is good to be here. I'll let you know, if you go to butnow.org, that's our website, you can follow us there. We broadcast everything live Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. And we do that live streaming audio. If the camera ain't working, then we do the audio for sure. But you can listen in to us there. Also, we're on Facebook. You see the zone, the reading. If you're on Facebook and you become a friend of Southwest Bible Fellowship, you will get that notice every day. I sit every morning and type it in and send it out to the friends. And if you're on Twitter, it's Southwest Bible, no spaces, and you can follow us on Twitter. By the way, get Ephesians chapter number 3. We are working on podcasting and all the other good technology things. We're going mega. That's what I told the folks at church. Mega meaning we're using it all. We're going big and bold. We're changing the website. Purple and gold, here we come. So we're doing it. But you can tap into us and you can follow us that way, especially on the Bible reading. If you're on Facebook and you like that social network, if you become a friend of Southwest Bible Fellowship, just search it, find us. You'll get the notice every day. I actually had a lady, I was late in the afternoon getting it done, and she hit me first thing in the morning. Well, where is it? What's today? I'm like, well, just read the next three chapters and you'll be okay. Ephesians chapter number 3, while you're turning there, I'm much like my dad. We've got a lot of places to go today, scripture-wise, so I'll be conscious of some of the newer folks and so forth, but we've got a lot of ground to cover. But I wanted to read something to you. Have you heard the latest news reports? We're up here. The latest news reports are that 5 terror cell groups have been operating in many of our churches. They've been identified as been sleeping, been arguing, been fighting, been complaining, and been missing. The leader, Lucifer, been working, trained these groups to destroy the body of Christ. The plan is to come into the church, disguise as Christians, and do work within the church to discourage, disrupt, and destroy. However, there have been reports of a 6th group, a tiny cell known by the name Ben Praying, is actually the only effective counterterrorism force in the church. Unlike other terror cells, the Ben Praying team does not blend in with whosoever and whatsoever comes along. Ben Praying does whatever is needed to uplift, encourage the body of Christ. We have noticed that the Ben Praying cell group has different characteristics than the others. They've been watching, been waiting, been fasting, been longing for Jesus Christ to return. No church is exempt. However, you can spot them if you've been looking and been going. So we were talking about a prayer here, and you get those goofy emails, especially now that you're out there and people will email stuff to you. Here in Ephesians 3, we've been talking about the prayer here. And there's an interesting thing about this prayer here. My verse is verse 17. So let's read the verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Dear Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you as we study this morning, Lord, that we would do so with our hearts and our ears open and in tune with the Word, and that we will rejoice in who we are in your Son, and that He does dwell in our hearts. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. This is Paul's second prayer in the book. And in this prayer, there are 4 petitions, if you will. And the first petition, Ron just did, about being inner strength, verse 16. The second petition is here in verse 17, the indwelling of Jesus Christ. The third petition, which will be the end of verse 17 and then verse 18, is the issue of knowledge, that you're able to comprehend some things and to know some things. At home, we have our jail ministry, and we go into the Sheriff Joe's jail there, 4th Avenue, the toughest sheriff in America, And you know what is interesting? When we deal with the inmates, the guys that are there, you know what they can do? They can comprehend some stuff. And you know what they comprehend? First, they comprehend the gospel. They get saved. And then they comprehend that goofy thing right there. Sound doctrine. We have folks that we go in every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, and these guys are having debates on the floor, so much so the chaplains are calling us going, what are you guys teaching these guys? And I said, we're teaching them how to understand their Bible. That's all we're teaching them. We have to be so PC going into jails and stuff, and we can't talk about the Catholics or the Muslims or the Mormons or any of that. But what do we talk about? Sound doctrine. That's it. So the petition here, number three, is some knowledge, some ability to comprehend some stuff. And then the last one, which is the issue of the fullness. And that's fortunately mine as well on tomorrow morning. But this petition here, the first one. Now, I'm not going to reteach what Ron did, but I got to get something in your thinking to go into the issue about Christ dwelling in your hearts. And that's that issue in verse 16 of being strengthened by the Spirit. His Spirit, where? In the inner man. You need to understand that the strengthening that's going to happen in your life is going to be in the inner man. Look over with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay? At home we usually have handouts, and I didn't do a handout this morning. So, and that handout is really a copy of my notes. And so forth. Get 1 Corinthians 2. Get John chapter number 6. Get 1 Corinthians 2 and John chapter 6. Because we're setting this up, if you will, and this prayer does this. Dad started last night talking about the prayer, John, or Ron moving along, but these things blend together. They start, they go A, B, C, D, and you gotta get B to get D, and you gotta have C to get A, and they meld together. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Verse number 9, watch this. Because the Spirit works today in the Word of God, through the Word of God. That's how the Spirit works today. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And everybody stops right there reading and says, see, look, we can't know. But what does the next verse to start with? But. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By whom? His Spirit. He's going to make this information known to you by His Spirit. Now drop down to verse 13 and watch how the Spirit works and where the Spirit works. Verse 13. Which things also we speak not in the words of man's wisdom, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost, what? Teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What does the Holy Ghost use to teach you? Words. Words written down on a page in a Bible that you can study and that you can have and that you have access to. John chapter 6, verse number 63. John chapter 6, verse number 63. He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, they are what? You can talk to me. They are what? Spirit, and they are life. The words, that's the issue. Christ dwelling in your hearts and strengthening in the manner of man, how that is accomplished is through the Word of God. Now, can we just read the Word of God? Yes. Is the Word of God just reading it profitable? Yes, it is. You read through the Scriptures on a daily basis and you're going to get some profit. I tell you what, go back there and read the book of Numbers. Forget Numbers, go back and read Leviticus. And all the these and the thous and the do's and the don'ts. And I sit there and say, praise the Lord for the grace. Because I'd be in trouble. You can't eat this, you can't have that, you can't dress this way, you can't do this. I'm sitting there, you know, my wife and I were talking about it, and she's like, man, those guys were rough. And it is, isn't it? But is that stuff profitable? Sure it is. You need to understand that, because then you will do what with the message of grace? Appreciate it. Love it even more. Come over with me to Colossians chapter Well, get 2 Corinthians 4. We'll move along here. 2 Corinthians 4. See, folks, the issue with Christ strengthening you and the strengthening in your inner man is by the Spirit. It's through the Word of God. You got 2 Corinthians 4? Get Romans 12 and Colossians 3. We got to do it. You can. You got papers and you got songbooks. And if you bend them over, you'll get there. Colossians 3, we'll start there. Colossians 3, verse number 10. Then we'll go to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians 4. You have to get this to understand, or to, not really to understand, but to appreciate Christ dwelling in your heart. Dwelling, feeling at home in your heart. That you are being strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. You have to understand that. This is how He does it. Colossians 3, verse number 10. Notice the verse. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in what? Knowledge. What kind of knowledge? After the image of Him that what? Created. Not just any knowledge. Not that 1 plus 1 equals 4. Or A and D and... you guys didn't catch that. 1 plus 1 equals what? 2. Not any knowledge, but some knowledge that's after the image of Him that created Him. It's some specific knowledge. Come over to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your... what's that next word? What's the first of that word? Reason. Where do you reason? In your thinking. This is a thinking game. This is not a feelings game. This is not an emotional game. This isn't a woe is me game. It's a thinking game. It's how you think. And what does He say? Which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Oh, your mind, your thinking. Why? That you may be able to prove something, right? What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Now come over to 2 Corinthians 4. See, folks, strengthening in the inner man, Christ dwelling in your hearts, in your inner man, is going to be accomplished through the Word of God. Now we can pray and go on. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed. How are you going to be renewed? By His Spirit. Where's the Spirit working? In your mind. Now come back to Ephesians with me. Come back to Ephesians. By the way, 2 Corinthians 4:16, the outward man is not the issue today in the age of grace. It's the inner man. That's the issue. Your outward man is going to perish. It's going to fall apart. It's going to quit working. I don't know. About 6 months ago, I joined a gym. Ooh. Okay? Down there working on the treadmill. Why? I got a goal. I got something I want to do. And in order to do it, I got to lose my weight. I got to get in shape. The outward man is what? It's perishing, man. It hurts. It falls apart. How many of you guys know there's a workout room downstairs here? I've been there already. Why? Keep things going. Why? Because the outward man is going, I don't think you want to do that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the Spirit of your mind. A renewal process. You take in the doctrine. You sit there and you get saved. You know, you trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and that exclusively. And the next thing you do is somebody tells you to go read the book of John. Have you ever read John? Some of you. Well, y'all better be reading John. Let's go. Come on. 3/4 of the book of John isn't even talking to anybody but the disciples, the apostles. 3/4 of that book. Are you one of the apostles? Then he ain't talking to you, is he? Go read 1 John. Well, we learned last night, 1 John is not written to us either. The first book you ought to be reading is the book of Romans. It begins to lay the foundation. of this. So you get saved and you come to understand some right division, and you come to understand that it's renewing your mind, your thinking process. This isn't crazy. This is renewing your mind. This is crazy. Okay? All right? Look at Ephesians 4:17 now. 4:16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. How's the Spirit going to do that? Through the renewing of your mind. Through the Word of God, 3:16, coming in, looking and working in your thinking. That's how He's going to do it. Now watch my text verse, and I only got a few minutes now. Okay? Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? By faith. Let me ask you something. How does faith come today? By hearing the what?
Word.
The Word of God. You having the Word of God sitting in your lap today is so critical. At home, we have a Thursday night Bible study, and we've been studying, and Wednesday night we have Bible study, and we're talking, and Sunday, and I get an email off of the website about, well, what do you mean when you say that the King James Bible is without error? So I tell her what I mean. Why? Because that's where God works. And if I got a Bible with mistakes, then guess what I'm worried about? Do I have it all? And He says, yes, you do. It's right there. Why? Because that's how the Spirit works. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Get two verses with me. Get 1 Corinthians 6 and get Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, at home, He's not sitting back there right now, but He says, you burn up the pages of My Bible. And that's what we're about to do. Because there's some verses, there's some thinking you have to get in your mind. Get 1 Corinthians 6 and Ephesians chapter number 4. When He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts, I hope you understand that Christ lives in you. He dwells in you. I hope you understand that. But so does the Spirit and so does the Father. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 19. I love this. What? Don't you know something? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As a dad, I know what that first word of verse 9, what? What are you doing? But who's there? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you. Ephesians 4, verse number 6. I had John close that door because of the glare, but it sure got warm up here. Ephesians 4, notice verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and what? In you all. The Godhead lives within you, dwells within you, resides within you. Now they do it, we'll get there, we'll see that. But Christ dwells in you, in your heart. He lives, He wants to come. You know what it is to dwell? Feel at home. How many of you walked into your room, or you go home, the first thing you do is you take your coat off. And you hang it up. And then the next thing you do is what? Take your shoes off. Get comfortable. Why? It's your what? It's your dwelling place. It's your home. That's what He wants to do in your life. He wants to dwell in your life. He wants to be your life. Everything about you is to be centered around Him. How is that accomplished? By faith. How is that accomplished? The strengthening by the might, the strengthening in the inner man by the Spirit. That's how this is accomplished. The accomplishment is through the getting in the Word in you and out through you. He is everything. Now come with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Because we're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ as our life. Philippians 1 verse 21. As our mind. Okay, that's 1:21. Our mind is 2:5. Our focus or goal, and that's 3:10. And He is our strength. And that's in 4:13. All these are in the book of Philippians. This is critical because he's dwelling. When he's going to dwell in your hearts is when you have that as your mantra. He's your life, your goal, your folk, your mind, and your strength. And how you get that is being strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man. That's what Paul's praying for, some enlightenment. Because in the next verse, or in the second part of the verse, there's some rooted and grounded in love, and there's some comprehension. And when He's all of this to you, then guess what's going to happen? The rest of the prayer is just going to fall right into place for you. Look at chapter 1 of Philippians in verse 21. He is our life, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Boy, that is a wonderful verse about what the Christian life is all about. You see, folks, the Christian life is not about going to church. It's not about coming to a Bible conference. It's not about going to church to get a bigger blessing than the other guy. It's about Christ. He's your life. Hold on to here in Philippians and look over at Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 verse 1 to 4. Colossians 3, 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. And the if there isn't, well maybe you are, maybe you're not. The if is, boom, it is. This is a given. It's like when I look at my son and I say, if you're my son, there's no doubt he's my son. Look at him. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our, what? Life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him where? In glory. It's all about the glory. It's His life. He is your life. Come back with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Not only is He our life, our thinking, our whole everything, He's also our mind. Philippians 2 and verse number 5. Now, we have to go quickly through these to get on down the road because there's whole studies of the book of Philippians is a wonderful book to study down through. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He dominates our thinking. Now, notice the thinking that we're to have. Start back up in chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one, what? Mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Verse chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolations in Christ, if any comforts of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be what? Like-minded. What's the like-mindedness? What's the one mind? Here it comes. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. That's the mindset. Watch verse 6. Watch the Lord demonstrate the mindset. The original grace thinker here. Watch. What does he do? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? No doubt he's God. But what did he do? But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. 2 Corinthians, he says he was rich, yet he became poor for your sakes. What's the mindset of the Lord? Others first. You guys know what joy is, right? By the way, I can't get that erased, so Dan got his name up there good. Golden. You know what the thing about joy is? Jesus, others, then you. What's the mindset? What's his thinking? Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died. He died for the ungodly. He's looking over there at something else and he says, hey, I'm going to go die for those guys. How are we to think? The same way. We're to have a thinking pattern here of others, of a lowliness of mindset. Chapter 3, our focus, our goal here. Chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. We'll come back up to verse number 4. That I may know Him. Wonderful statement there about Paul, the individual, and the focus and the goal of Paul, that Paul has, and it's to know Him. He says in the end of verse 3, having no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Verse 4, 3, 4. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And Paul lays out his pedigree. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those things I counted for loss, yea, doubtless, and I count all things for loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may, what? Win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. What's our focus? He's our focus. To know Him. Why do you think you come to learn to study the Word of God rightly divided? Just so you can beat up on everybody on Pal Talk? Or on the message boards that you know more than them? No, so you would get to do what? Know Him. Know who He is. That He would come and dwell in your heart. He's everything. Come over with me. Hold on to Philippians. Come to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. The whole issue is to know Him. To experience His life on a daily basis, to have a Christ-intoxicated life 24 hours, 7 days a week. You think about that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. And when you grasp what prayer is about, and it's an event that continues. If you are praying without ceasing, who are you thinking about constantly? Christ. He has become your life. He has become your thinking process. He has become your focus. Now, I know Monday's a holiday. Tuesday we got to go up and go to work. You know in Ephesians 6, he tells you how to live, how to work a Christ-intoxicated life at your job in Ephesians 6. He does. He says, go and do it. But don't be pleasing of men, but do it for the will for Christ. As a husband, as a wife, as children, Ephesians 5 and 6 is wonderful about stuff about how to live a Christ-intoxicated life. Colossians 1 verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now watch, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The whole issue about studying the Word of God rightly divided, the whole issue of Paul's prayer in Philippians 3 is that you would come to understand and to see who you are in Christ. That He would come and then dwell in your heart. And to appreciate the riches of His grace and the wealth that God's given us in His Son. That's what He's after. He doesn't want robots. You know, He wants you to come and love Him. And have Him become this stuff. And when you do, you know what He does? He says, when your thinking is that way, now I can dwell there by faith. Come over with me back to Philippians 4. The only way to know this, by the way, folks, is through the Word given to Paul. You don't see it in the Word given to Moses. You don't see it in the Word given to Peter. You don't see it given the Word given to John in the book of the Revelation. You only see it in the Apostle Paul's writings, Romans to Philemon. Notice Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Boy, that's a verse that goes to church every day, doesn't it? So does verse 19, by the way. But my God shall supply all your wants and needs according to His riches and glory by His... No? Okay? It's all His what? All your what? Needs, singular. What is the only thing you need? Christ. That's it. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You've been made complete in Christ. All you need is what? That Christ-intoxicated life. But look at Philippians 4:13. When Christ is our life, when for me to live is Christ, when I have this mindset, the way of thinking about things the way He thought about them as my thinking process, when my goal in life is to know Him, then I can say, 4:13, that Christ can strengthen me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Now, 4:13 has a context, doesn't it? Go back up to verse 11 and let's look at the context real quickly here. What does He say in verse 11? Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have what? What's the next word? Learned. Where do you learn? Inner man. Thinking. Study. Okay? My dad always said you don't bore a hole in the back of your head and dump it in. You got to study. You learn. What has he learned? What's the rest of the verse? In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. I'm instructed. I'm learning something. What am I learning? That in whatever state I am, when Christ is my everything, I can be what? Content. The verse over there, Paul says, contentment with godliness is great gain. Man, content. You know what it is to be content? Somebody said it. Peace. Joy. Patience. I have it every day, brother. You got to just study in. Being content. It's not being in a hustle about something. It's relaxing and being who you are in Christ. Being content. The condition of my life is irrelevant. The things that are going on in life are he says over there in 2 Corinthians 4, common, or 1 Corinthians 10, 13, are common to man. I can just relax. Why? Because Christ dwells in my heart. He's at home in my heart. Come over to Galatians 3. Christ, how can I say Christ will strengthen me in all things, no matter what life brings to me? Galatians 3, I can get through it because Christ dwells in my heart by faith. Galatians 3. Notice this verse here in Galatians 3. Interesting verse. Verse 27. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ Jesus. The Spirit baptism, the moment of your salvation, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does to you is He takes you out of who you are, places you into Christ through His baptism, identification. But notice what the end of the verse says. Have what? Put on Christ. You see me, white shirt. When I put on my coat, what do you see? A blue coat. When you get saved, you put on Christ. And you know what God sees? Christ. And His whole goal is to dwell in your heart. His whole goal is to be your life, your mind, your focus, and your strength. So how does He do it? Well, come over to Colossians chapter 3. That's what everybody wants to know. All right, and how does He do this, Rick? How does the Father and the Spirit dwell in me? How does all this work? You know, Thursday night we're in a Bible study. We actually had an interesting thing where we had a phone, Les Nero, somebody on the other end of the phone that's here in California somewhere. I think they're up north. But so we're talking, and at the end she says, "I got some questions." I'm like, "Okay, here we go," because we're talking about the intervention of God, and an easy subject, you know, and it really is. It's not that difficult, but anyway. When you clear away those weeds, you got to clear away the garbage. And she said, "Give me a practical illustration of this." So here's a practical illustration of Christ dwelling in your heart by faith. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Now you've heard two guys already tell you that Colossians and Ephesians are mere passages, right? Well, here's another one. Notice what he says in verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Let the who? Let the what? The word of Christ dwell in you richly. What? When he comes along and he's going to dwell in your hearts by faith, how does the faith happen? By the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now he says, the word of Christ. Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor of me, his prisoner. But take care of the sufferings, endure them. The testimony, the words of Christ. Paul over there in 1 Timothy 6, he calls them the words of the Lord. The information given to Paul, what is it going to do? It's going to dwell in you how? Richly. Boy, that's wonderful. It isn't just going to come in there and sit down and say, "Well, I think we'll go to work today." No, it's going to come in and it's going to come and it's going to motivate you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to get you going. It's going to teach you to be that He is to be your life and your mind and your focus and your strength. And the practical application of all this, folks, is a little word. Whoops. Called study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Because you've got to go and do what? Study. And when you intake and you renew your mind by the Spirit and you renew your inner man with the Word of God will come along and the Word of Christ, and it will dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Because it's designed to produce something in you. Come back to chapter 1 of Colossians in verse 27. We just read it. How Christ dwells in you, how He comes in and settles down in your life, how the Holy Spirit does it, and how the Father does it, is by the daily intake of the Word of God rightly divided. That's how He does it. And when you're doing that, and when you're studying, you know what He does? He says, "Now I'm at home with you." And when He's at home with you, then you know what He can become? Those four aspects in your life. Follow that? See what's going on? Colossians 1:27 again. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." Now watch this. "Which is Christ in you." How does He get in you? Well, the Word of Christ dwells in you through the Word of God. How do you know? The Word of God. Galatians chapter number 4. We're almost done. Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 19. Galatians 4 and verse number 19. Folks, in Paul's prayer, when he says that Christ may dwell in you, that Christ, I messed up the verse, didn't I? Get Galatians 4. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Galatians 4, verse number 19, Paul here, he says, "My little children," talking to the Galatians, "they have left Paul." It's interesting, I'm doing my own little study on how much Paul says against false doctrine. It's amazing. He says the sins of the flesh, Calvary's covered it all. Knock it off, grow up, quit doing that. But man, when he starts talking about following false doctrine, he says, let them be accursed. Cut them off. Kick them out of your life. Don't need them. Mark them. Avoid them. Man, it's tough when it comes to false doctrine. That's where Galatians is. They following the false doctrine of the law of Moses. Well, wait a minute, Rick. That's scriptural. It's scriptural, but it's not what? Dispensational. Man, it's amazing. Paul says, "Rum." He's just boy. And if Paul's that way, who wrote the book? The Holy Spirit does. What's his attitude about it? Same as Paul. My little children, I travail. Of whom I travail in birth. What's that next word? Again. He says, man, you guys, you got it right. It was evident amongst you, chapter 3. Now you've been moved away from me. So I got to come well back over here and start all over again with you guys. But watch what he says. Birth again until, not unto, but until what? Christ be formed in you. How's Christ formed in you? Through the Word of God, rightly divided. He says Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Where does faith come from? Comes from hearing the Word of God. Last verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And on your way, get your hopes up, okay. 1 Thessalonians 2. In October, we had at the end of October, the 1st of November, we have our Bible conference in Arizona there in the Phoenix area. And this last year around, Dad came and went into the jails and so forth. And the guys were commenting the next week when I was there, hey, we got to meet the guy on the video because they're watching some of the videotapes. But he keeps saying, go to 1 Thessalonians 2, and on your way, get Romans, Corinthians, and Ephesians. And they thought that was a kick. They chuckle. It's funny to watch them watch the video, the school video, the Fundamentals of Dispensation class. And then they sit there and they'll get done and they'll look at me and they'll look at him and they go, all right, what did he mean? You know, you're his boy. Now what did he, you know, I'm like, I don't know, ask him. He's coming. 1 Thessalonians 2. Where does faith come from, folks? From hearing the Word of God. Having the Word of God in you. And when you have the Word of God in you, the Word of Christ dwells in you richly in all wisdom, He's going to settle down and He's going to become your life. He's going to become your mindset. He's going to become your focus. He's going to become your strength. You got 1 Thessalonians 2? You got to see this in 2 Corinthians 12. I'm sorry, but you got to see this in 2 Corinthians 12. Just hold on to 1 Thessalonians 2. Honestly, that's the last verse in my notes. Okay? But look at 2 Corinthians 12. Because when Christ settles, hey, I got 10 minutes yet. And at our folks, if their folks are here from our place, 10 minutes is, I can get a lot done. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 8. And this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it would depart from me, the thorn in the flesh in verse 7. Notice Paul prayed for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, and he prayed three times. Now watch verse 9 and watch the answer from God. And he, what? Said, finish it up, what? Unto me. The answer to Paul's prayer is in the Word of God to him. That's where the answer is. You want answers to prayer? Get your nose in the book. Get it off of Oprah. Get it off of the TV. Get it out of the theology books that you're reading. And get it in the Word of God, rightly divided, and you'll get the answers to your prayer. No amens on that one. That's where it is. That's where it was for Paul. And he's talking directly to Paul. But what does he say? What was the word to him? My grace is what? Sufficient. Read the rest of that section. For my strength is where? In weakness. You see, folks, when he is everything to you and he becomes your strength, you know where you're at? You're weak. And he's running the show. 1 Thessalonians 2. When you have the Word of God in your inner man, folks, you know what he becomes? He becomes your all. And it isn't for you to go down to the bad to the bone barbecue and eat the barbecue and enjoy it and come out on the other side and say, you know what, thank you, Lord, that was some good barbecue. Because He's given us all things to richly enjoy. Why? Because He's your mind. He dwells in you. Because He consumes your entire life. And then you can pray without ceasing. Because what is prayer? Just talking to God, the Father. Man, if you can wrap yourself, comprehend that. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. What did they receive from Paul? The word of God. And the word of God is designed to do what? Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When you believe the Word of God to you, you know what it's going to do? It's going to not just work, it's going to effectually work. Man, that word effectually. It's going to create an impact in your life. Effectually, effect. It's going to revolutionize your thinking. It's going to take some things that you think are just humdrum and make them exciting. How many of you, don't raise your hand, you'll embarrass yourself, hate the job you work at? But if you caught the attitude about your job, Ephesians 6, you would not have that attitude problem anymore. You know why? Because the job, you would consume the job with Him, with you. And it'll impact you. How about your marriage? I'm at home. Paul goes right to your house and says, okay, let's talk right here. How about your marriage, your spouse? It's interesting. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto who? The Lord. Having Him dwell in your heart. Having Him consume you as a wife. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the who? What did He do for the church? He died for the church. Boy, that's high. Hey, okay. I'm working on that one, Lord. But what was His thinking about dying for the church? I'll take care of them. Them before myself. I was rich, I became poor so that they can become rich. According to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His glory. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. What Paul's after there in this section of the prayer is that you take the strengthening by the Spirit in your inner man and it moves over into your life, and it becomes a reality in your life. So that when you go out and you go and you do the things that you do in life, you can say, you know what? Praise the Lord. Today was a good day. And you don't have to do it with the psychobabble. And you don't have to do it with all of the hoopla. At church we call it the hoodly-doo. But you can do it with the confidence of the Word of Christ dwelling in you, in all wisdom. And you can turn there and you can say, you know what, Lord, man, what a day. Lord, I had a bad day. He goes, yeah, I had one too. It was Calvary. You want to compare bad days? Let's get comparing them. You see, folks, Him dwelling in your heart is because of who you are in Christ. Christ dwells in your heart by faith when you intake the Word of God into your life, rightly divided, by the way. And you begin to just let that reside and function in your life. Part of Paul's prayer here is that you would be constantly intaking the Word of God so that you are constantly consumed by Him. That's it. Because when you're constantly consumed by Him, you know what He's at? You know where He's at? He's at home. Follow that? Now that's quick. Okay? And there's some You got to get that part of this prayer, because next is rooted and grounded by love. That's the next connection pinpoint. Strengthens, dwells, and now there's some knowledge to have. Okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your mercy, for your long suffering, for your wisdom, that you would have us be consumed with you and through your Son. And Lord, I just pray for the folks here that whatever is said and done would be said and done for your honor and for your glory, because that's where everything resides. And we'll just give you the praise. In your name we pray. Amen.